The floods in Southland have been and gone, but the clean-up continues on farms that have the Mataura River as a boundary. Cosmo Kentish Barnes was in the region last week and hopped into a cab with John Pemberton, who farms south of Gore at Bryden, to find out how things are going.
We're just going to go dump this pile of cleanings out of the stone trap and off the lane into a spreading pile for later in the spring when we renew a grass paddock, and then we'll head down the river and start hauling gravel.
Now we can see your main herd of cows and they're looking pretty happy. Have they been milked this morning?
Yeah, we're still twice a day. They're getting 3 kilos of palm and 2 kilos of grain through the shed a day at the moment, just because we've lost 20% of the farm. So we've got to keep our round length right so we don't run out of grass in 3 weeks. But to be fair, I've been quite surprised the recovery we're having at the river blocks, and now it's going to be more of a race of getting lanes and fences sorted so we can contain the stock now that we've got all the gravel picked up.
And you've got a digger working back there by the dairy shed?
Yeah, so we had a few lanes that got fairly well washed with the rainfall, not just from flooding but just the rain. We had 150 mils that week and most of that was in 2 days, so we are just getting on some maintenance. While we've got the diggers here, we're just going to do maintenance that we had planned on doing because it's brought it forward for us, and now we just need to make sure the cows keep milking, keep the production going to pay these bills that we've got and tidy up the damage.
And your farm borders State Highway 1, so I guess you had no issue with getting milk tankers to the dairy shed?
No, we haven't, and I will say that is because of part of the work that I've done and neighbours downstream the last 4 years on the Lowburn. It used to be quite a common occurrence for it to go across the road, and I had a mate sort of ring up and say that he was just absolutely blown away how the Lowburn kept up with the amount of rain we had, and it didn't fly across the road. So, you know, it's a credit to everyone that's doing their bit, you know, out of their own pocket to make sure the waterways are maintained. Just pull around here and you'll be able to see the damage that we had at the river. So there's 20 hectares down here. The water was, have a guess, and I'll show you when we go down the lane, but I'm saying it's maybe 2 metres below where we are, it got to give you an idea.
And we can see the Mataura River now, and it's still quite fast flowing.
Yeah, that's probably not far off normal flow. It would be 150 cubes, I'm picking something like that. It's running nice and clean. It is a very swift current around here. It's not we don't take the kids down here that often. It's quite a quick piece of the river. Yeah. Quite a lot of current, just shallow, but it's a great fishing spot. A lot of fishermen come here. There's old fishermen up further along. But you can see the bare spots, they've either had gravel or silt. You can see the slight yellow tinges, so it's not green, they're yellow. That's where we've been lifting gravel. I don't know how many tonnes, I should actually work it out, but I know for about 2 days we're doing about 20 tonne every 2 minutes of gravel for about 8 hours a day, so do the math on that. It was a huge amount of gravel shifted.
Now we are in your tractor and heading down towards the Mataura River. Your farm is on two levels really, isn't it? There's the higher paddocks and these, and we've just come down to the lower ones where I can see you've done lots of tractor work already.
Yeah, so I guess our goal wasn't to double handle gravel, so we have recycled as much as we can as far as lanes. There's the odd hole that was scoured out. Where we're driving now, this was probably a metre deep in gravel, to give you an idea.
Prior to that, it was lush green grass.
It was only about a year old. We'd actually wintered down here and developed it a fair bit. It was full of native grasses when we took it over, so
and now it's covered in stones.
Yeah, but every day it's greener, mate. I think we'll just drag the chain harrows around and run a heavy roller over it once we get more established. Where we are now, it's probably more the disappointing part for me, is we've just got a red clover stand in. This culvert we're parked on was washed out below the level of the creek. We've done a wee bit of an alteration here around the design, so the culvert was gone, so we spent 10 grand on culverts.
What, since the flooding?
Yeah, since the flooding. So you can see that fisherman's hut and see where the track cuts down diagonally in front of it?
Down the terrace.
Yeah, draw a line directly at the level of the hut horizontally across that track. That was the height.
So much water.
Yeah, ridiculous, eh?
Once the water had gone down, did you find any fish lying around?
Yeah, the kids actually found a handful of trout and eels, and they'd just actually been ripped in half with the torrent of the water. That I've heard there's been plenty of fish, you know, landlocked and people moving them, or, you know, but there has been a lot of fish loss.
Did you find anything that wasn't here before, like car parts or anything like that?
Yeah, there's actually a heap of old car parts, and we're talking cars that look to be from the 60s. Bumpers, chrome bumpers, there's a car door, old wheels, there's heaps of old sort of hardwood off fences, some really nice timber. One staff member's got about a dozen golf balls. I'm not too sure where they've come from. So, there's all sorts of things. But the kids actually found it quite exciting. They were running around and coming back and reporting every hour what they'd found. So at least I'm enthusiastic about picking it up, I suppose.
You had some huge rocks as well, didn't you?
Yeah, so we had like lignite that would have been two-thirds the size of a car. You know, just obviously
dropped onto this land.
Yeah, so I'm picking, you know, there's obviously lignite seams further upstream. There's lignite all the way down the Matera. And it's obviously the water's pounded that out and picked it up and biffed it on. So, you know, pretty impressive stuff.
And for those 3 days when you were trying to clear this land of all the rocks and sand and gravel and debris, did you get any visits from local people just wondering how things were going?
Yeah, a couple of mates called in, box of beers at the end of the day, timely finish. It's always nice to have a beer with the crew. I think we had 8-9 people kicking around, you know, helping out. So it was nice for those guys to call in. We had a lady from MPI call in to the house, and she dropped off a bacon egg pie, which was quite... we're very grateful for, because, you know, the wife was busy trying to keep the household going and keep the crew fed, and also she put in some time for friends down at Matera Island that were in a much worse situation than us. So, you know, we were getting a wee bit spread thin on the ground, and just so small gestures. You know, people think it's nothing for them to make something for an hour in the kitchen and drop it off, but for the people receiving it, it's quite a humbling thing. It's great.
Dairy farmer Mike Henderson and his 10 staff milk 2,000 cows on a farm further downstream from John.
We're on the Matera Island Edendale Road, 20-odd k's from the coast, I suppose.
Mike says the road and all the fertile land heading towards the Matera River was covered in water.
On one side, on the river side of the road, we've probably got about 180 hectares, I guess, and that was all under about a metre of water. Well over the fences, guys were jet boating over the fences and just driving where they wanted, and come across the road, washed out a few of the road, but we're standing on here now, it's all been resealed, ripped all that up, yeah.
Gosh, it's amazing how quickly things have happened.
Yeah, crazy, yeah. Yeah, no, that Wednesday, what was that, be nearly a week ago, just over a week ago, and she was not looking this good. It's actually bounced back really well, yeah.
Let's walk down to the river and have a look.
Yeah.
Now, over in the corner of the paddock, you've got some people doing some fencing?
Yeah, we've had to refence about 3 k's of the farm, all dairy fencing. But, some of this roadside fencing is a bit more technical. So got the contractors in to do this, but we're going to get judged by all the neighbours if I don't get it straight, so I'll get the contractor to do it.
And I guess that comes at a cost.
It does, yep. Insurance, FMG have been really good. We do have fencing insurance. We did take that out, being so close to the river. So, they've been really good on that side of it. But we'll do all the internal fencing ourselves.
Yes. Yep. Now, we're just coming up to the river now. And it's 8 or 9 metres from the paddock here.
Yeah, yep. And that's pretty well where it is all the way around from the farm when she's behaving herself.
So where we are standing now was totally underwater.
Yep, we would be, a good metre and a half underwater where we are here now, yep.
What did you think when you first came down here?
Well, we knew the place flooded. I grew up in the area, so I've known the farm. But I guess initially when we saw it, there wasn't a hell of a lot we could do, so we didn't think too much. Probably just making sure the staff, firstly, making sure they were safe, and then the cows. And that was really after that, we just forgot about it until the water disappeared.
Did you have any flooding in the milking shed?
Yet we couldn't milk for 36 hours through our shed. We actually got the cows to the yard, and it was coming up pretty quick, so we made a call to get rid of them while we could, and went to the neighbours for a night, and then the next day we backed ourselves to get to the shed, and we did. Yeah.
What happens to the cows when you can't milk them?
They're pretty resilient old animals, the cows, eh? They were obviously pretty uncomfortable, but they just come to the shed, took the milk off them as normal, and they've bounced back, yeah.
Did you have a lot more milk the following day?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. No, the girls were definitely dripping, eh? Yeah, no, they're pretty keen to come on the shed. I guess our cell count did go up a little, but it's come back down to normal. That's to be expected, I think.
Why would the cell count go up?
I think part of the reason is because we brought the cows to the shed, I guess their reaction is to start dropping their milk when they get to the cow shed. They get into that mode, and then we let them go again. So their teat canals had opened up, and we sent them back to their paddock. So there's possibly a little bit of environmental bacteria got up in there, and I guess that milk wasn't as fresh as it should be.
And in terms of the recovery, so it's mainly fences, is it, that you have to redo?
Yep, mainly fences to get stock proof again. And the pasture's taken a fair old knock. The stuff that was just the silt and crap on the grass, yeah.
What can you do about that?
So what we've done there is we get our cows to graze to 1,500 residual. We're pretty hard on that. We're a grass-based system here. So all we've done is lifted our residual to 1,700. So we're not forcing those cows to eat as much, and we're putting supplement in to fully feed the cows still. Do that for one round, bit of nitrogen on, and that grass will bounce back.
Yes, so you're not too concerned?
No, with the other farm I run, we flood there quite a bit, and I'm used to it. It's just more it's just the inconvenience, really.
In terms of the community spirit during the initial flood recovery process, what was that like?
Absolutely unbelievable. That phone was going straight away, yeah. We've had that farming army's done an awesome job, those Fed Farmers guys, outstanding. We had 25 people here on the Sunday, largely unexpected, turned up. And footy boys, the Wyndham Rugby Club, those boys nuggeted in on Monday, a dozen of them. And some more friends and staff have come and helped out the day after. So honestly, unbelievable. My milk, our local rep down here, Debbie, she's been awesome. Just honestly, yeah, checking up on guys. And rural support, really good. I think 10 years ago you wouldn't have got people ringing up to see how we were. They'd be worried about how the farm was. But people ringing up asking how we were, how the staff were, and yeah, it's been pretty humbling.
Was it other farmers who were part of the farming army?
Yeah, so we made a point of getting around everyone that was on farm on that Sunday. And really, really surprised. I think there might have been two or three farmers. We had a young lady that was supposed to be walking at Stewart Island. Couldn't make it across there. Saw on social media, I'm guessing, that some help was needed, and she just rocked out. We had a fisherman from Bluff who was too rough to go fishing, come and lend a hand. Yeah, as I say, bugger all farmers, to be fair. Yeah, they were all just, genuinely people from, I guess, or a lot of urban that actually wanted to help. So, yeah, puts a lot of faith back in that urban-rural divide too. Yep.
What were they doing on your farm here?
Largely stripping debris off wires. That's predominantly what those guys were doing, yeah. And then the rugby guys that come in on the Monday, they're a bit more practical. Off farms, most of them, they actually got on the post banger and restringing fences and, yeah.
Because of what happened, will you tweak your management system?
Yep. So we will go to single wire fences all through this flood area. So next time it happens, it will happen again. There's not as much damage, and it's just easier to fix, basically. Yeah, yes. Making sure the insulators are on the right side of the post so that it'll ping the wires. But essentially, that's really, all we can do.
I'm Bernadette Hunt. I'm the Vice President of Southland Federated Farmers, and I'm a farmer near Gore.
Now, tell me about the Farmy Army, which you organised in response to the flood. How did that happen so quickly?
Yeah, so when the floodwaters started to go down, it was very quickly visible that there was going to be a huge clean-up job on farms. I was aware of the Farmiami that had operated up in Canterbury after the earthquakes up there and was just chatting to one of my Federated Farmers colleagues and said, we need to get that up and running here. And so we did. We put some registration forms online and started advertising for volunteers and said, we're going to send people out from these places at these times. And yeah, the old, if you build it, they will come kind of mentality, and they did. So that was how it happened.
How many people signed up for the Farmiami?
In terms of people helping, we've had more than 400 volunteers over, it's just over a week that we've run it. And in terms of farmers needing help, we got onto more than 70 farms, and we're not quite finished yet. And, you know, when I spoke to farmers at the end of a day after they'd had a crew there, they were just blown away, and the relief in their voices was amazing. One lady texted me and said they did in 5 hours what would have taken us 5 weeks. You know, because often this is just a husband and wife team running a farm, and to look at the scale of the work, kilometres and kilometres of fence line to clear rubbish off before you can even start to fix them.
Daunting.
Really daunting, yeah.
You were also affected by the flooding, weren't you?
Yes, we were. One of the blocks that we run is right beside the Matoda River, and we had a significant area of that went well underwater, and we're left with fence lines vanished and others in terrible states and huge amounts of gravel deposited and things like that. We're lucky that we've got scale beyond the area that was flooded. You know, I really feel for those farmers whose entire farms went under. At least we had other area we could put stock on, and we can, you know, we did some clean-up work very quickly. We can chip away at the rest, and it's not going to stop us functioning. But yeah, so I absolutely know firsthand how difficult it is to face that, even though we were at a much smaller scale than what a lot of other people are coping with.
Matara Island is close to the east bank of the lower reaches of the Matara River. The area was one of the worst hit by the flooding. Tracy Hartley and her husband Hayden have a dairy farm on Duthy Road.
We had about 10 hectares left of green land, which was actually lucky compared to some, but yeah, it ripped right through us.
You couldn't get out and no one could get in?
No, we had a few choppers visit us, but no, we couldn't get out for 5 days.
And we're beside one of the flood banks now that was pre-existing, and it's quite close to your milking shed, isn't it?
It is. It's about 30 metres from the shed.
How high did the water come up?
It was probably about 3 millimetres from the top. It was just teetering on the edge.
Were you concerned that the water was going to go over the bank towards your milking shed?
We were. We actually checked it every half an hour just to make sure it wasn't, because as soon as it came over, we knew we'd probably have to leave too. It was just like looking at the sea. There's just water everywhere.
So were you milking cows as the water was rising?
We were. Yes, we milked the cows. We milked the cows, we fed the cows, and we kept monitoring. We had to keep going.
There's a truck behind us and the driver is putting down gravel.
Yep, he's fixing up our races for us because they all got torn up. So that's about the 30th truckload of gravel we've had this week.
And you were saying that the fences we can see have been replaced already.
Yep, they've all been replaced. The race has all been replaced. So we had to get that all done so that we could access these paddocks. It was basically all an open space.
What damaged the fencing? What was the main cause for needing to replace it?
I think a lot of it was baleage, but we also had trees and logs coming across, and just the severity of the river and just how fierce it was. It just ripped everything out. And once it got one, and when the bales were doing that, it was kind of a ripple effect. Everything just kind of pinged along with it.
Did you lose a lot of bales?
We lost 300 bales this time, but we'd actually only just put those bales on the crop 3 days before the flood because we thought we're in February, we're good now. Lovely green grass, crops were looking amazing. And we thought, yep, we're all ready for winter. And yeah, 3 days later, back to square one.
And you hadn't even paid yet for the bales?
No, hadn't paid for them yet. So that bale's still on its way, but the baleage is all in a heap, ready to be disposed of because it's so damaged.
So you can't dry it out and feed it to the cows?
No, the first day we managed to retrieve a few just to feed to the cows because we had nothing else to give them, but it starts rotting very quickly. And we actually had to feed it by hand because it was so delicate it wouldn't go on our buggy, and the heat coming off it was telling us how much it was rotting, and it's just not worth the risk for the cows. We didn't want to feed them anything that would make them sick or make them slip or anything.
How much does a bale cost?
These bales were 80 landed, as far as I can recall.
Will insurance cover costs like that?
They will insure some up to a certain point. Not the crops, so we've lost some of our crops. But we actually, last night, got a phone call from a fella that we don't even know. His name's Gary Sweeney. And he has donated a truck and trailer load of baleage to us. Yeah, so we thought that was pretty amazing. We've had a lot of superheroes come along in the last couple of weeks.
Now, we've taken the 4x4 across one of your paddocks that was totally submerged in water, and we've come to the beautiful river.
Yeah, it looks beautiful today. It's very calm. You see, we've got no fence lines here anymore, but all the fence lines on this end would have probably ended up over there.
Yes.
So we were retrieving those for the last week, just finding fence lines here, there and everywhere. We had a few troughs move, so we've had water issues for the past 9 days, searching for water leaks that we just can't find. Then the milk pump decided to break. We don't know if that was to do with what was going on either. But yeah, it's just one thing after another, really. Lame feet, water problems.
Yes. So it's been a struggle.
Yeah, it has been a struggle, but we've got such good support that we're doing okay.
Tell me about the support, because you were saying that quite a few people turned up here at the farm.
Yeah, we have. We've had people turned up with tractors, diggers, trailers, post rammers, even turned up with beer. No, they turned up. We have a great support crew. We've got really awesome friends, and as soon as they could get in, they were here. They kept ringing to see, and as soon as we knew it was safe for them to come down that driveway, they were here. Farmy Army were amazing. I went up to paddock one on the first day people could get in, and myself and my friend Jolene had milked the cows to give Hayden time to feed the cows. And I rocked up there, and our neighbours that live just over the hill there, they had re-fenced paddocks 1 to 4 for us, and the Farmy Army were clearing debris, and we didn't even know they were there. They're quite funny because they sent us a picture of all this underwater, and then they said, "We think you've got a trough overflowing." So they're quite comical. They're real good sorts. So they were watching it for us and letting us know how it was going, and then, yeah, they just rocked up and re-fenced while we milked. And just like that, we had 4 more paddocks that we could use because of them. But, yeah, no, it's been overwhelming. I met a lady on the driveway the other day. My son used to play ripper rugby with her son 3 years ago, and I can't even remember her name, but she handed me dinner. She said, "Oh, here you go, I hear you're having a hard time," and she gave me dinner. I didn't know what to say. I've had a lot of teary moments. The kindness has been quite overwhelming. But, yeah, we're very lucky.
Tracy Hartley ending that story from her Matoura Island dairy farm in Southland.